This is News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Good Sunday to you. Rushini Rajkumar here. News and Views for July 27th. But first, we're going to talk about a concerning part of the world right now, and that is Russia, the Ukraine, the border, and the plane that got shot down by a missile, supposedly because it was erroneously taken for an enemy plane. I want to get into that with Professor Josh Rovner. He's professor of international politics and national security at Southern Methodist University. Welcome back to the show, Professor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. I was reading your blog from this past week, and you have a lot of interesting points in there. You say that, you know, some think President Putin of Russia has this long game strategy plan, but really he's a second rate strategist. But yet our concerns are growing, wouldn't you say?
Well, they, among some circles, they are. There are reasons to be concerned about Vladimir Putin and about Russian actions. I don't think that he's being a particularly responsible actor right now. I think that he is supporting proxies in Ukraine's civil war and destabilizing Ukraine. That doesn't mean that what he's doing is in Russia's best interest. And that's why I say that he is making trouble, but he's making trouble in a way that's ultimately going to be self-defeating for Russia.
And how does this, I mean, in the aftermath now, it's been about 10 days since the devastating, horrific plane going down and all those deaths. And there have also been accusations of people getting in there, of militia fighters getting in there and taking away some of the bodies and parts of the plane, so a proper investigation can't even be done. What do you know about that?
Well, at this point, I think we have a pretty good understanding of what happened to that airplane. It was shot down with a surface-to-air missile. We have a good idea of what system it was. This is one of those things in which the separatists who are fighting against Ukraine have been shooting down quite a lot of aircraft recently, right? Different kinds of aircraft. And they shot down an aircraft which they thought was a military transport plane. They bragged about it immediately on social media. As soon as people figured out that it was actually a commercial plane, they took those boasts away. They tried to pull down those tweets and those Facebook status updates. So we basically know what happened. We do have considerable physical evidence from the crash site itself about what happened. Now, Russia has good reason to try to deflect attention or to create some alternative story, because obviously this makes it look very bad. But at this point, at least in broad outlines, there's not a lot of doubt about what actually happened.
So you do believe then that, I mean, they made a legitimate mistake?
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of legitimate. I think that judging from their actions, they're fighting in a war, and they have been trying to shoot down Ukrainian military aircraft. They thought that that's what they had done in this case, but clearly they screwed up, right? Now, where the gigantic irresponsibility in all of this is that Russia is supporting these forces, these separatist forces, who, as far as I can tell, and this is just my analysis, are not terribly competent. And it's not one of those things where you can just pick up this kind of weapon system, point it, and fire and hope for the best. Right? So it requires some assistance. It requires some training. And my guess is they have provided some assistance and training, but certainly not enough to prevent this kind of tragedy from happening. And
well,
that's terribly irresponsible.
Exactly. And the whole point of it, too, is as more of the world community looks at these actions and sees some of the linkages to Russia, Russia does become more isolated.
Right.
And how does that play out? I mean, as I always ask you when you come on, why should the rest of us care when something happens over there? But, you know, usually when Russia is involved, we do think about U.S. interests.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly the right question. What exactly is the U.S. interest? And the first thought that came to my mind when news of the plane crash occurred was, how have U.S. interests changed in the last 24 hours? In what way does this fundamentally affect the United States and affect our concerns about Ukraine in a way that it didn't before? And I didn't see much of a change. I think the U.S. interests are basically the same as they were before the crash, and until I can hear a good story about why our interests have changed, I wouldn't recommend changing U.S. policy.
I'm talking with Professor Josh Rovner. He is professor of international politics and national security at Southern Methodist University. If you want to share in the conversation, send me a text, 81807. If you have an opinion about this, are you connected to the Russia-Ukraine situation? Also, I'm going to ask him about the White House wanting to sort of shift some things when it comes to the laws that are in place post 9/11. So if you have a question about that, feel free to text 81807. So, Professor, to you, I want to ask this. The laws, use of military force that was passed 3 days after the 2001 9/11 strikes, some are saying it's getting less useful. It's becoming dated 13, 14 years later. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, the law that was passed was the Authorization to Use Military Force, the AUMF, and it was written in a way to give the president very, very broad latitude about how to respond to al-Qaeda itself. And the way that the law was written was that he had the ability to act against anybody who is either directly or indirectly responsible for the attacks, so al-Qaeda plus al-Qaeda's friends. And while that did make sense at the time, giving the president some flexibility, at this point it's a troublesome law only because who al-Qaeda is right now is somewhat unclear. There are many groups out there who claim to be associated with al-Qaeda, who claim to have some sort of connection, even if they don't, even if they're just using that to portray themselves as somehow.
It's like a PR umbrella or something.
Portray themselves as part of some great revolutionary movement. So I certainly do see some wisdom in going back and looking back at that law and seeing if there's something that we could craft instead.
Well, right. And it seems that we end up putting our noses in a lot of places where we may or may not really want to be, all in this name of preventing terrorism.
Yeah, and here's my position on American counterterrorism. In one respect, since 9/11, has been enormously successful. Right, the al-Qaeda organization that conducted those attacks is gone. We've really thoroughly destroyed that organization. Almost all of their leaders are either dead or in prison. Their finances were largely wiped out. That organization was soundly defeated. Now, the problem is that there are all of these other groups who are sort of claiming some ideological affinity or relationship with that group that now we sort of feel obligated that we have to chase them as well. Right? And so the hardest thing for the United States might be the ability to recognize the good work we did against that original al-Qaeda group, but restrain ourselves from feeling like we have to chase down every other group in the world that's claiming to be a descendant of al-Qaeda.
And a place in the Middle East that, it's just volatile parts of the world right now, but a place in the Middle East that we are still so plagued by because of the death of our former ambassador. Just this weekend, the U.S., the State Department, evacuated all U.S. personnel from its embassy in Libya.
That's right.
What do you know about that, and what should we be concerned?
Well, there have been several evacuations of embassies since the Benghazi attack that killed the ambassador. My sense, and this is really just my sense, is that we're probably more concerned now than we were before and trying to be more protective of people within the embassies. But a bigger point regarding Libya is that since the attack, so much of our attention has been focused on trying to chase down a scandal about what happened on the day in Benghazi, which I think is sort of a non-existent scandal. But what we haven't done is talked about the Obama administration's strategy. And did it make a mistake in going in and supporting that civil war to bring down Gaddafi? Because what's in Libya right now is horrendous. It's a terribly violent, near-anarchic place.
Well, I was going to say, it seems like it's nearly lawless.
Oh, it's mostly lawless. It's mostly controlled by militias. There is a government in place in Tripoli. It barely controls the capital itself. It's a thoroughly failed state, and whenever you undermine a political order, however morally odious that political order is, what you create afterwards is a recipe for chaos. And I think that's the debate we haven't had about Libya, was did it make sense for the U.S. to get involved in toppling a government? Instead, we've had this sort of politically driven debate about Benghazi, which is very frustrating.
Do you have advice for some sort of litmus test that our government can use before they go into foreign lands?
The first piece of advice is to be very, very clear that there is an American national security interest at stake, right? And if you can't tell me what that security interest is, then I would be very cautious about going in if you go in.
Like in 10 words or less, right?
Yeah. it has to be very straightforward and very simple, right? You can spin out scenarios all the time that are based on your imagination, but unless you can tell that 10-word story about how this affects American national security, I'd be very hesitant about the use of force. That's step one. Step two is you need to have the outlines of a strategy. That is, how are you going to translate military action into political results? And it's very hard to figure out how that's going to work. But if you can't even tell a plausible story about what your strategy is going to be, then you really risk throwing military force into a very dangerous environment without any clear idea about how it's going to lead you to get your goals.
Professor Joshua Rovner is the John Gooden Tower Chair in International Politics and National Security at Southern Methodist University. As always, Professor Rovner, thank you for enlightening us and your insight. I know you blog about this. Is there a way our listeners can easily find your blog?
You know, I don't have a blog. The piece that you mentioned before, I wrote for the Washington Post over last weekend. So I write occasionally for the National Interest and for a few other outlets, but there's no single blog.
Well, not a bad publication to be in. So you can Google his name and find him at the Washington Post. This was a very good, very insightful. Thanks so much for coming on. You have a great Sunday.
Thanks for having me.